Scripture this morning will be taken from Deuteronomy 6, 1-3, and I will be reading out of the New King James Version. Deuteronomy 6, 1-3. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you. You and your son, your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey.
Certainly a pleasure to be able to share a lesson in your presence today, and especially since we have this really good crowd this morning. You know, preachers say stuff like that. We got a good crowd this morning. I don't know if they mean the people are good or if it's just a big number or what. But anyway, we've got a big number and I think you're all good. So there we are. Appreciate the lesson that Brooke had this morning in adult Bible class on encouragement. I'm always encouraged when I hear a lesson on encouragement. And we're glad to see it. I would remind us this though, regardless of what the subject may be on any given service here at the Eastside Church of Christ, it is our goal to preach the Word of God and teach the Word of God and worship Him in such a way that all people who are present will be encouraged when you leave the service this morning. I've always felt that any man, any woman in women's classes, wherever, that stands before a group of people to share God's Word and to preach the gospel, teach the gospel, has a very, very sobering responsibility. And that is to lead the service at that particular point in such a way that we will all be encouraged. I've entitled the lesson this morning, The Simple Plan of Salvation. Now we know, as Mike a few moments ago mentioned in abbreviated form, the fact that we offer an invitation at all of our services. We do that because we feel we have an opportunity to share with people the urgency that all human beings should feel at becoming a child of God through obedience of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For we know beyond the shadow of a doubt, the teaching of God's Word lets us know that all people are lost without Christ. All people. The book itself tells us in the book of Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's all human beings. Christ died on the cross 2,000 odd years ago in order that we might be saved from sin, in order that we might enjoy heaven as our home. I don't know about you folks, but I look forward to heaven. I look forward to heaven because of who is there. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. There are children there. Have you ever wondered what children will be like in heaven? It's a perfect place. It's a tremendous place. Have you ever wondered when a young person perhaps is afflicted with a disease of some kind or has to live a very, very painful life in this world, of what it will be like for them in heaven? What a tremendous thought. That's our goal. That's what the book teaches us. And as Mike said a few moments ago, we reemphasize that. The New Testament teaches us there is a God. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It teaches us that Jesus Christ is His Son, and that Jesus Christ died on the cross in order that we might have hope of eternal life. We know the New Testament teaches us we must believe that He is, that God is, must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God rewards us if we look for Him. You've got to be seeking after God, folks, as we noticed here a few lessons back ago, if you will. We have to believe that God is, that Jesus Christ is His Son. And we must also confess our sins before men and confess Jesus Christ as our Savior. Then we must be buried with Him, having repented of those sins, buried with Him in water, baptized, immersed, and raised to walk in newness of life. That's what's set forth in the New Testament. Now let's go back for just a few moments to the 6th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. I want to call your attention to this passage and a couple of others. This, of course, is in the midst of the nation of Israel. In the three verses that were read this morning, we pick up at verse 4 and continue. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them to thee diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them whom thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand. And they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and thy gates. Now notice verse 8 specifically. Thou shalt bind them before a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, also thy soul, and with all thy might. The Jews of that day wore a little leather box on their forehead or their wrist. It was called a phylactery. And in that little box was these words that I just read to you. These are very important words, folks, in addition to some words that was also written in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, where God instructed the nation of Israel to love their neighbor as themselves. And we also know that Jesus, in the New Testament, when He was challenged by the Jews, put those two commandments together, and we've called them the first and greatest and the second greatest commandments of all. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And a second like unto it is thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And there was added also, and these added to these words, you have the total picture of Jesus Christ. Let's turn to His passage in Mark chapter 12. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment? This is Mark chapter 12 now. I hear some of you turning to it. And verse 28 is where we began. And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely, this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth. For there is one God, there is none other like He. And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, with all the strength, to love his neighbor as himself, more than whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. That is the simple plan of salvation that I was talking about. Folks, the Bible is full of commandments and statutes. Read the book of Psalms, especially chapter 119, I believe it is, that has every verse almost mentions a statute, the Word of God, the law of God, the commandment of God. And we take this first and greatest commandment of all. Jesus put His stamp of approval upon it. We say, well, what about what the New Testament teaches about being saved? You have to believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. The implication of this first and greatest of the commandments is that if you obey that commandment, then you're automatically going to obey those commandments and all the commandments and all the teachings that Jesus Christ has given unto us. Folks, if we love our parents, we'll do anything our parents good. We certainly will. God is no less in that. The key word to this greatest of all commandments is what? It shouldn't be difficult to understand. It's the word love. The key word to the first and the greatest commandments is love. Thou shalt love thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Literally, with all of your being. Paul describes for us this idea of love and what it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We call it the love chapter of the Bible. And we know that he analyzes love, tells what it's made of. He directs love. And he defends love as being the greatest of these, faith, hope, and love, the greatest of which is love. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So we know that love of God the Father, God the Son is the key to this salvation that we talk about. Perhaps the most familiar of the laws are the Ten Commandments. What about the Ten Commandments? They were of the nation of Israel. They were important to the nation of Israel back in those days. And the nation of Israel were challenged to obey those Ten Commandments. And those Ten Commandments represented all of the hundreds of laws that had been given to Moses on Mount Sinai. And then it was reduced to the two in the passages we just read in a few moments ago. And then those two are reduced to one, actually. But they're set out in the New Testament by Jesus Himself. Jesus spoke much of this greatest of the commandments. The Jews challenged Jesus with this: what is the greatest and the first and most important of the commandments in Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Also in Mark chapter 12 that we read a moment ago, in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. And including in those where they vary just a little bit, but included are the ones that I used: heart, mind, soul, and strength. With all of your mental being, your emotional being, your spiritual being, your physical being. Love God with everything you have. Now the word love that is used here, of course, is agape love, which is the kind of love that, regardless of how it's offended, regardless of how it's challenged, will always respond with goodness. In his reference to the Old Testament, Jesus said, the first of the commandments was, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God. That's the verse according to Mark's account. And then he added that second greatest commandment. And then he said that on these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. Matthew chapter 22. All of them. Do we love God? Surely that is important. I believe it was Augustine, the scholar from hundreds of years ago, that made the comment that you can love, if you love God, you can live as you will. I have thought that Augustine meant by that if you love God, you're going to do everything on earth to please God. you're going to keep the commandments. Folks, if we desperate, if we love the Father in heaven, we love the Son, if we love God, then we're not going to kill people. We're not going to lie to people. We're not going to covet our neighbor's wife. We're not going to covet our neighbor's house. We're not going to covet our neighbor's lands. We're not going to steal. None of those of the Ten Commandments would we do, even if we were living under those, which we're not. Those principles are taught in the New Testament with the exception of the keeping of the Sabbath. The Jew, if he really loved God, kept the Sabbath and continued to keep the Sabbath. And we who are Christians, if we truly love God and His Son, Jesus Christ, then we are going to be faithful in our attendance. We're going to be true in our love for Him. We are going to visit the widows and orphans in their affliction. We're going to do all of those things that we're taught in the New Testament that Christians should do, if we love God. I know that there's many of you, if not most all of you, have at one point in your life been in love, dearly in love, with a young lady or a young man. And you desperately wanted to find out what they liked, what pleased them and everything, and that's what you wanted to do. I have on some occasions in my lifetime been in the presence of men and women, grown men and women, I'm talking about adults on up into their middle age, that love their parents so dearly. Their parents might have been afflicted in some way with disease or terminal illness or whatever, but they have dearly loved their parents. In fact, that's one of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and mother. Might live long here upon this earth. If we love God, we will love our neighbor. You can't love God without loving your neighbor. Because God has told us to love our neighbors. It's the foundation principle for all of the commandments in Christianity. Everything that Jesus has told us to do. Read the Sermon on the Mount. And the key word for the love of God is man and each other. What we're talking about here is the relationship between man and God, the most important. Our relationship with Him. And second to that is our relationship with man. That's the first and second great commandments stated in a little bit different way. The foundation for unity among God's people. I'm talking about the church. All the Christians who make up God's church. It's the root of all true worship and obedience to God. And folks, it's the foundation of monotheism. If we love the Lord our God as He has commanded us to, we're going to worship Him as He has commanded us to. We are taught in the New Testament, as far as Christians are concerned, we are to teach the Word. We are to sing praises, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to Him. We are to give of our means, and we are to observe the Lord's Supper, which commemorates Him and His death upon the cross. Now, if we truly love God, our Father, and His Son, we are going to worship as He has told us to. And when we look at that, we know then that these are the things that we do and that everything else is excluded. There is a law of exclusion in the Scriptures. That law of exclusion simply means that in the Scriptures, the silence of the Bible can teach in two different ways. Now, as far as our worship is concerned in the New Testament church, we are told to do the things I mentioned a few moments ago. And occasionally someone will want to add something to those items of worship, for which they have no authority whatsoever. And sometimes people are heard to say, the Bible doesn't say not to do it. Well, the law of exclusion says otherwise. I sometimes illustrate it this way. When I was a kid, 10, 11, 12 years old, my mother sent me one summer day to the drugstore or to the grocery store to pick up, I think it was a box of fruit jar lids she was canning. Kid-like, by the time I got to the store, I had forgotten what she had told me, so I picked up something else. I don't know, it wouldn't have been hamburger meat, but it would have been something else. Took it back home. And guess what, folks? She didn't accept it. Because she had told me what to get. And when I did not get that, she didn't want what I brought. So I was sent back to the store again. Maybe a crude illustration. Nevertheless, it's what we're dealing with in this particular situation. The law of exclusion is no less true. If you stop and think about it, that silence of the Bible authorizes anything and everything in our worship service. Look what a service would be like. An ungodly performance, as it were. It's the foundation, this principle of love of God and of man is the foundation of monotheism. Folks, we said a few moments ago we wanted to be in heaven. Everybody else we'd like to see in heaven. But when you get to heaven, you're not going to find Buddha. And you're not going to find Allah. And you're not going to find the God of the Shintos. Or any of the other so-called world religions or any kind of religion. Because God the Father, we have just been pointed out and emphasized that He is one. There's no other gods before Him. We cannot worship any other idols. The people of the Bible were taught that. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Israel. He is the God of His Son, Jesus Christ, Christianity. Monotheism simply means one God. Only one. And that one is one I have mentioned, in His Son, Jesus Christ. It's indicative of the free will of man. We know that God created man according to the teaching and placed him in the Garden of Eden. Gave him everything that he needed to survive in the Garden of Eden. And we know that man fell. Inasmuch as God gave man access to the tree of knowledge of good and evil in the center of the garden, He intended to create man with freedom of will. And so inasmuch as God gives commandments, and especially as we consider this greatest of all of the commandments, inasmuch as He gives those commandments, He is saying, exercise your free will. You make the choice. Even as we who are here this morning made the choice to come to this service, regardless of what the motivation was, we had that choice. We can either come or not come. And the same is true every day of our life. We make hundreds of choices every day of our life. Some important, some significant, others not. Eternal life in these two commandments. If you look at Matthew chapter 19 and verse 17, it emphasizes that very thing. Because Jesus said that whosoever obeys these commandments, then eternal life will be theirs. In fact, on at least one or two occasions when these people came to Jesus and said, what's the greatest commandment? Or what's the first commandment for eternal life? How do I get to heaven? How do I live eternally? And Jesus responded by saying, keep the law. The greatest of all of these, Jesus said, that's your ticket that's punched to heaven. So folks, the measure of God, of our love for God, is to love Him without measure. That's not original with me, but it's a true statement. I don't know where I got it. The measure of our love for God is to love Him without measure. Meaning we'll do anything, of course, on earth. To love God by this commandment is to rush to obey all of His commandments. to love God this way is not question to His commandments. We have this place that's been prepared. We know that when death comes about and we leave this planet Earth, there are two places where we will live in eternity. One is the place of punishment. That's the place who has saw fit not to obey God's commandments. And the other is the place of reward. That's heaven. It's been prepared for those who are willing to obey the commandments of the Lord and who have done that. This morning we ask you, have you obeyed the first and second greatest commandments? Because Christ gave those as instructions. Have you, and I say you, just to challenge each one of us to think in our own hearts, have we loved God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength? And second to that, do we love our neighbors ourselves? And if you haven't done that, why not this morning, as we set out a few moments ago? Obey the gospel by confessing Him, repenting of your sins, and being buried with Him in baptism. And then you have been raised to walk in newness of life. You have access to the throne of God, to the mercy of God, and the forgiveness of God. And He loved us good enough to give us His Son. Died on the cross, went through all the pain, the suffering, in order that you and I might be saved. And if you're here and a child of God and you've drifted back into the world and need to be restored to the church, why don't you do it this morning? If you need the prayers of the church, we'd also be glad to assist in any way we can as together we stand and sing.